Well, that was a bit longer than 2 weeks, I'd say. More like 2 months?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Prepper Mama Jesus Freak. Today we're going to discuss what it's like to lose your mind, how to fix it, the fun, amazing adventure moving across the country, and when I say adventure, I mean terrifying, and all of the other things that we like to cover here. So here we are. It is, I have no idea what month it is. Someone help me. It's May. Hello. Oh, May. Oh my gosh. So where have I been? Great question. I really underestimated the amount of intensity it takes to pack a home, clean a home, sell a home, move across the country, find a new home, reestablish, unpack, and in any way just to stop feeling like you're floating and finally feel settled. I'm finally in my right mind enough to actually sit down and talk with you guys, which I'm so grateful for because it's been a doozy. And at the same time, we also had my father-in-law pass. So that had a whole other amount of emotions to process and new normals to get used to and still working on it, obviously. But, and then just to add an extra fun layer, I've been struggling with a lot of health issues lately, but I'm really hopeful and really excited about a program I'm starting tomorrow that's hopefully going to help with a lot of it. So all prayers are appreciated. It's going to help me and my husband and my son with our health issues. So please, any prayers are just so appreciated because, oh my gosh, it would be so amazing to feel good and energetic and be able to eat stuff and, you know, the ush. So that's going to start tomorrow. I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. But we are here now in the South where everyone is so nice and so kind and so loving, and the people are amazing. Even at the fast food restaurants, people are so nice. It's crazy. I mean, we came from a really intense, dangerous, crazy city, and everyone's really on edge, and everyone's ready to fight you. And here, people are just like, hey, you went shopping? Oh, cool. Here's your burger. Hey, have a good day. But God bless you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is this heaven? And we've just been blessed so much. Like, just little things that God does. Like, I love to garden. I love to grow food. And we got a rental when we got here. And we had no idea that the rental we had gotten had a garden already in the back. And I got to throw seeds in. I mean, within a month of getting here, not even fully settled, I got to throw seeds in. And just little things like that where God is just reminding me constantly that He loves me. He cares about me. He thinks about me. And He's interested in not just taking care of our necessities, but also bringing extra joy into our lives in different ways. And He's showed it so many times through this journey. Just in this last couple of months, it's been amazing. And I'm just so grateful. You would never guess that yesterday I was crying and hopeless. And God just delivered an amazing breakthrough because I've been dealing with health issues for a while. And I've done everything you could possibly think of, from the most extreme diets and supplements and all of the routines to everything and prayer and Bible and everything in between. And it's just, I was waiting until we got here. I thought this was the last piece, and we got here. I did not get better. And that was really discouraging, and it really messed with my hope, and I started getting scared. And then I just kept praying, and then I started dealing with things like sadness and so much anxiety. And like, I was going through so many mental attacks. And then it was like, oh my gosh, we gave up our whole lives to move here somewhere safer, somewhere with better energy and air. And I thought, you know, I was going to get better when we got here. When we got here, I got worse, not only physically, but mentally. And I was just freaked out, man. And I just kept praying and praying. And today, God gave me an amazing breakthrough that I'm just so grateful for. And basically it was like, in the Jim Logan book that I suggested to you guys before, he talked about, I think it was in that book, he talked about any area of your life that is not surrendered to God is an area that Satan can get a stronghold in. And I had prayed about it when I had read the book, like, show me any areas I haven't surrendered. And one, I thought the main areas I hadn't surrendered were the areas of my husband and my children's safety and future. So that was the area I really tried to surrender. And I thought, you know, I thought I had, that was the last piece. But what I found out, really realized today, was I hadn't really surrendered my mind and I hadn't surrendered my body and my health. And so I was really, I mean, pushing with all of my might to do just simple cleaning tasks today because I was just so not feeling well. And I was like, well, I'm not getting better. I need to just push through and do this stuff. And while I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, well, what if the piece I'm missing is I'm not doing enough dedicated prayer? Like I because I'm always brainstorming in my head, what else can I try? What else can I do? What am I missing? What am I doing wrong? Why am I still struggling so much mentally? And so then I feel like a nudge that's like, you don't have to like dedicate, set aside time to go pray. You can pray while you clean. You can pray while you cook. You can be dedicated in prayer as you move about your daily chores. And so I was like, okay. So I just started praying while I was cleaning the floors and cleaning the tubs. And I was getting more like life water, you know, like like infusion of life in me as I did that, that allowed me to keep pushing further and keep cleaning more past what I thought I was capable of. But then what I really felt just come to me was, Tia, your body doesn't belong to you. Your mind isn't yours. Your body isn't yours. It belongs to me. And, you know, I'm thinking of like, this is what I'm feeling from God, you know? So I say me isn't God. And it was like, it doesn't matter how you I'm going to just follow me here. So now I'm talking to myself and I'm like, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how your body feels. It doesn't matter how your mind feels, because none of it belongs to you. Your only purpose here on earth is to glorify God, period. It is irrelevant how you're feeling in your body and your mind, because if anything that happens to you, God has allowed to happen to you. I'm not saying he makes it happen, but he allows anything to come to his children that, you know, it's not going to happen to you unless God allows it. And I'm like, so if I'm this ill, there's a reason. It's in some way going to glorify him, in some way going to push his agenda forward, some way going to push me towards his will for my life. And if that means I'm going to feel ill and feel, you know, feel crappy in my body and in my mind, so be it. That's his decision. And I trust his decision. And, you know, I need to let go of my ideas about what I want my body to feel like and what I want my mind to feel like. And then it just like kept getting clearer in terms of how much I hadn't surrendered my mind and my body, because I kept asking God for help. Like, please help me protect my mind. Please protect my mind from Satan. Please help me live in your peace. Please help me da 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 da. But I was still holding it. I was still holding my mind. I was still controlling my mind. I was still holding my body and holding my health and asking him for help as I held it. And I think that's where I really screwed myself up, because I'd never just handed it fully to him and said, I'm going to go do this over here. Here you go. You take care of this stuff. Because that's, we're supposed to hand our burdens over to him, surrender everything to him, to fully be a vessel for him. This body does not belong to me. And if God has decided that this vessel is going to be sick, then that's what he's decided. And somehow he'll be glorified through that. And that's none of my business. And I've done my part in terms of taking care of this temple, feeding it well, to, you know, exercising it, making sure there's no chemicals in its environment. Like, I'm doing my part, and anything beyond that is God's responsibility. And because this belongs to him. And the same with my mind, is it's not my mind. It belongs to him. And it just, gosh, can you get in my head and get what I'm trying to say here? Because this rocked me. And it was like, I was that grip that's been on me for, it's been months of just like darkness and anxiety and fear and worry. And it just really released a lot, and it's not gone all the way, because I have some work to do, but I feel so much better. Like, and I physically feel better because that stress in my mind was making me sicker. But I know this program I'm starting tomorrow, I'm really excited about it because it's going to help me go that last bit mentally with not being so, not catastrophizing in my head all the time and thinking about worst case scenarios all the time and that making me sick. But it was interesting how the program I ordered, it was running really late. And I actually had to call them and make sure they were still sending it because it was 8 days after I ordered it. They still hadn't shipped it. And then today was my big breakthrough. And tomorrow I get the program, which I'm really confident is going to heal me. And it was like, God was like, no, don't send it yet. She's not ready because I'm trying to teach her something. Because every time that you suffer, it's God's teaching you something. Either it's going to bring you closer to him, or it's going to help you transform. No matter what, it's going to make your faith stronger if you stick it through. It tells us that in scripture. And those who suffer will be blessed in a lot of ways. And so it was like, God was like, no, don't send it yet. I'm trying to teach her something. She hasn't figured it out yet. And then today, bam, I get it. And it gets here tomorrow. And it was just, I have the biggest smile on my face just thinking how he constantly is working. And I have a huge prayer. I've been praying for years and years and years and years that I could have a home church. And that was just not in God's plan for me, my entire Christian journey so far. And praise the Lord, he has decided that I'm ready. And I found one and it's here. And God used a bunch of signs to point me to it, like knocking me over the head, like, yeah, this is the right one. And then I really fought him on it because I was scared. And then someone who's close to me was like, if you don't go sign up, I'm going to drag you by your hair to go sign up because it's obvious God's telling you to do this and you're wrestling with him. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was wrestling with him. I thought I was wrestling with whether it was him calling me or not. Oh, that's confusing. So another reason it's just important to have other people in your life who also have the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to them to help guide you when you need that. And that's why community with other Christians is important. Even if you can't have it in person, like I couldn't find a church for 10 years. And, you know, that really was a place for me, but I've had other people. I was always trying to connect with somebody that was also a Christian to just have that advice for you when you need it. So there's all that. So we're finally settled. The seeds have turned into little plants out in the back. And we are just so blessed here. We can actually go outside and walk our dog, which is crazy. We haven't done that ever. And it's so weird that especially my oldest son, who's 10, he's still really uncomfortable with it because it's always been a safety issue where we were before. And so he's like, should we turn back now? And I have to keep reminding him, like, it's okay, I've got you. I'm in charge here. Don't worry about it. I've got your back. But it's just a new experience. We're just relearning how to exist in a place with a lot. We have a lot more freedom, And it's a learning curve to get to that place. But this lack of stress is evident in just how we first got here. My husband and I were both like on cloud nine. We just felt so much, just such a drop in stress. And I think that's also why I started feeling sicker. I actually had all of this other stress gone, so I could actually really feel my symptoms. When before they were all masked by me being in permanent survival mode. And so that's all that. And your book recommendation of the week or month or whatever, I don't, until I get consistent that I finished. I read this thing so fast and I usually don't read books fast. I read very slowly just because I'm trying to absorb and I put it down a lot and I come back to a lot. I don't just like sit and have hours set aside, but this one, man, did I plow through it fast. It's Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it or know about him. But this book was powerful and meaningful and faith-affirming and encouraging. And it's about this Muslim who is really a witnessing Muslim. He's always trying to go around and convert people and just like, you know, Christians are supposed to be doing. And just his journey in realizing that Jesus is real and what that looks like. I mean, the amount of denial he experienced and all of the processing and knowing his, he was going to lose, his family was going to really turn against him, and he was going to cause a lot of shame for his family, and just him picking Jesus over everything and over everyone. And it's a beautiful, profound, powerful story, and I highly, highly suggest it. I'm reading a few other books right now, and I'm just slowly plucking through those. So when I get around to finishing one of them, I will be very happy to suggest that next for you guys. So that is that. The other thing I watched recently that was really awesome, it was called Every Brilliant Thing. It was on HBO Max. It's actually a filming of a play that was done. And it's just a guy surrounded by the audience, and he uses the audience to be different actors in his story. And he's just telling the story of his mother, who was chronically depressed and tried to commit suicide a few times. And I don't watch upsetting things, but this was actually really beautiful, because he said the first thing he did when he was a little boy was he started making a list of everything amazing in the world that made life worth living for his mother in an attempt to heal her. And so he just starts going through his list of, and you know, it starts when he's like seven. So it's like water guns and ice cream and number three. And, you know, and it's just beautiful. It's just really beautiful. And even though we're talking about heavy subject matter, there was something so profound about it and just encouraging you to see every little tiny thing in this world that is to be appreciated and seen as how beautiful it is. And yeah, so it encouraged me to start a list, and I keep it out, and I told the boys to add to it when they so desire to. And like my oldest added pizza, and then my youngest added kitties and doggies. And I was just thinking how cool it would be to have that when they're older. And you know, it's always going to be ups and downs and hard times, and what an amazing thing to have for all of us in the future when things feel or look kind of bleak, as a reminder. And it's also basically like the same idea as a gratitude journal, I think, but done in a different way. And so the list is called Every Brilliant Thing. And then I just put a little snippet at the top, you know, that says everything that makes life worth living. And then, you know, said what play it was from. And we're just going to add to it. And that's part of my practice too, and not focusing so much on the things that are going bad, but on all of the beautiful things, which I've always thought I was good at. Like I've always, you know, been pretty positive and seen the bright side of things. But I realized in my head, it's a different story. And in my head, I'm just freaking out a lot, freaking out a whole lot. And so, yeah. Those are those main things, that book and our little list that we're doing now. I think that was most of the updates for you guys. I forgot to put the time on. I don't know how long we've been hanging out here. Let's see. 18 minutes. All right, cool. We still have time now. Cool. We still have time to hang out further. I am stuck on a loop. So I see that we have listeners from all over, which is really exciting. And I just hope that this can make it feel like you're hanging out with another woman that kind of holds the same values as you, and you can find comfort in that, because I was so isolated for 10 years, and I just know what it's like to just ache with loneliness for someone who sees the world like you do. And I just really pray that this podcast can be a comfort to you in such a hard, crazy world. And, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm getting closer to God, so I'm more sensitive with things that offend the Holy Spirit, or I don't know if it's because things are actually getting crazier, but the influences out there right now for children are so disturbing and horrendous. And we need biblical, godly moms so desperately right now who don't care about what's cool in culture and only care about what's cool to God. And I look at who our biggest maternal influences are in our culture, and like the absolute biggest moms that people are looking up to right now, especially young moms, and that's the Kardashians. And all you have to do is flip through their Instagram a little bit and start to get really concerned if that is the main influence that young mothers are seeing right now, or girls that are going to become the next mothers. And I think it's important for us other mothers who are following a different set of morals and values to really hold our kids close and give them a really strong foundation, so that when they get out in the world, that stuff's not just going to go in and mess up everything. And I believe in a balance of selective sheltering. Now, I've talked to, other people who were over sheltered as children, and how that really, really messed them up when they became an adult and went into the world, and how it really crippled them. So I shelter in ways of not letting them watch or listen to obscene things, inappropriate things, but also having the balance of, we'll watch like Deadliest Catch, rough guys, they're cussing a lot, but everything's bleeped out. They have a lot of arguments and they're smoking like crazy, but they're there for each other. They have each other's back. They're a team no matter what. And as I'm watching it, my whole thought process is, when they become adults, they're going to come across tons of people like this. And I don't want them to be freaked out and thinking they're hostile and aggressive and oh my gosh, they're smoking so much and they're cussing so much and being uncomfortable and anxious and worried about confrontation. I don't want them in the world like that. I want them in the world like, I've seen this before. I know this type of personality, not have it be a shock to their system. And then they'll be more comfortable stepping into those environments to teach people about Jesus. And so that's where I come from with that kind of selective sheltering. And so books, music, video games, movies, and shows, I'm just very careful and selective. And we listen to mostly Christian music and books I'm careful about, but I still let other things come in because I'm still wanting to give my children the opportunity to start exercising their discernment, because we've had so many talks and so much foundation set. And I know it's working, because I was reading a book by Michael Heiser, and I was telling my oldest about like crazy interesting things that he says are in the Bible. And then my son goes, but did you check in the Bible yourself? Because you really should check yourself to make sure that that's accurate. And I was like, blown away, so proud, so relieved, so happy that he wasn't going to be a follower, and that he was making it clear right then that he thinks for himself, and he's going to make sure for himself that all that is true and real. And then last year I had been kind of convicted that, like, I don't think I should have raised my kids to believe in Santa Claus, because this seems super like off focus. Like, we focus so much on Santa Claus that Jesus takes the back seat in this whole celebration that is meant for him. But I just still was like confused and unsure, because, I started off lukewarm Christian. I just like every year get more and more intense, and I've reached a new intensity level. So that's why I was starting to, last year's the first time I started really thinking about this stuff. And then I was in a women's group recently, because I found one. Wow, how exciting. And a woman in the group had mentioned how she did not raise her kids to believe in any of that. They still did the practices, like putting the tooth under the pillow and, doing the practices and the stuff that went along with it, but that her children always knew truth, because she had heard of a story of a man when he said, as he got older, like someone told him Santa wasn't real, and then the tooth fairy wasn't real, and the Easter bunny wasn't real. And he was just waiting for someone to tell him that God wasn't real. And he was just constantly nervous that that was going to happen next. And it was like further conviction that it was time for me to just do it. And so my oldest, I did tell last year, because I felt so uncomfortable with it, I did let him know, because I was like, okay, well, he's getting old anyway. So that's a good reason, plus the main reason, which is this feels wrong. So he knew last year and it blew his mind. And so my six-year-old, on the day that I heard this story from this girl in the women's group, my youngest lost a tooth. And like when I got home, he lost his tooth. And I was like, well, if this isn't the perfect opportunity, I don't know what is. Definitely God there. And I told him, I said, hey, did you know that mommy and daddy are tooth fairy? And he goes, yeah. I go, oh, okay. Did you know that mommy and daddy are the Easter bunny? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes more sense. But I was worried that the Santa thing was going to be a big shock. So I was like, just threw it out there. I was like, so did you know mommy and daddy are Santa? And he goes, yeah, I always knew that. I was like, so shocked. So I said, you did? How did you know? And he just like a face that's like, seriously, he goes, because those reindeer aren't real. They don't exist. And I was like, this kid is awesome. So then just to like wrap it all up in a neat bow, I was like, and did you know that Jesus is real? And he looked at me like his face was like, are you serious right now? Like, you need to stop. Of course I know that. So that's how I let those cats out of the bag. And I feel so much better. And I will say that if I were starting over as a brand new mom who has a lot more stuff figured out in Christianity than before, I would not be raising my kids believing in mythical beings that, you know, aren't real and that bring them things magically, and having the focus of Christmas be a mythical creature. Well, I guess he's not a creature, but you know, he kind of is, you know, have the whole focus being on Santa and receiving from Santa and not be the number one focus being Jesus. So last year we started an Advent wreath, which really was nice to help get the focus back on Jesus. And now that I think I'm going to look into things further and figure out ways that we can even do more. Because the Advent wreath, you read a part of scripture and then you light a candle every Sunday leading up to Christmas. I think it's like 4 or 5. And that really helps get the focus where it needs to be. But I feel like there's more we can do. And so I'm going to really think about that and look into some more ideas on how to make that more important. And I hope that helps any of you who might be thinking about things, juggling them around, maybe planting a seed. but yeah, it's been crazy. And it feels so good to feel like my head is good enough to sit and have a chat with you guys again. And I'm finding that website I created where you can put comments and things like that on the post, it's set up so crappy. And there's nothing, like, we can't comment to each other back and forth or anything like that. And so I just went ahead and opened an Instagram, Prepper Mama Jesus Freak Instagram. So feel free to message me in chat or post a comment on anything. And that's a much easier way to communicate back and forth and hang out with each other in a place where we kind of all want to raise our kids in a similar way and raise them right in a totally jacked up world. And good luck to us all. But stay encouraged. Keep in the word. If you have to read the Bible, you have to. Don't get confused and read Bible studies written by other people. You need to read scripture for yourself so you know what it says, so no one else can confuse you. Do not do the studies by Beth Moore and Priscilla Shire. Don't throw them all away. Read scripture yourself. If you haven't, start in the gospel, start in Matthew, learn for yourself. When I did that, after years of doing these other Bible studies, when I did that, a lot of false beliefs came to light that I had to relearn, and it was hard. It was really hard. And it upset me many times because I felt so taken advantage of. And when you finally learn the gospel for yourself, you realize it's so much better than all of this mixed up, twisty stuff that all these other people are putting out there. And then once you know scripture yourself, you can start introducing tools to help you kind of dig into scripture more. But your focus and your main thing really should be the Bible with supporting scriptural help, maybe like a commentary, or the books by Paul Washer are good because it's just like getting you to focus on the attributes of God by using scripture support alone. And, or like the ESV Study Bible is really great. I just got it. It has, notes in the bottom of the scripture that just give you more substance to, point you to other parts of the Bible that kind of explain what that, maybe that parable is talking about, or what a custom was that helps explain that, or some archaeological find that confirms yada yada. So the ESV Study Bible was just on sale at Mardell. The brown one was on sale for half off, which was awesome. So I got it for $32, and all the other ones were $64. All the black ones were $64, and they're the same exact Bible. So I don't know if it's still on sale, but you can catch it. It was like a graduation sale. So I've also heard that the John MacArthur, the MacArthur Study Bible, it's also a good resource. I haven't looked at myself, but I follow the, reading list from the Heart Cry Ministry, because that's led by Paul Washer, and he is one of the only discerning theological pastors that I have found. And I'm really, really cautious about reading stuff by people now because I've been so misled so many times. So if I'm looking at material that's meant for teaching me something about the Bible or about Jesus or about scripture, I go to his list on the Heart Cry. Well, it's not his, but you know, his ministries, the Heart Cry Ministries list. And I go through that to just as an additional, check to make sure that that is something that's theologically sound because they've vetted that material already. So it's just a great resource to have. So you're not buying a Bible or a commentary that's by somebody who's going to just totally confuse you. And we do not need any more of that because there is plenty of that to go around for all. So I hope to connect with you guys on Instagram. I really, like, seriously really do. I'm not just saying that. I really actually want to be friends. So hopefully I'll see you there, and I hope you guys have a wonderful time. Read your Bibles, pick up a good book. Oh, and I probably should add on a little thing for the prepper side of the Prepper Mama Jesus Freak. We got a wood. Okay. This is another giant, amazing, magical thing from God. We got a wood fireplace. We have a wood fireplace in our rental, which is really exciting for prepper reasons because we can buy wood and have it for an emergency. It's so exciting. So we found this, these ladies, they're so great. They deliver like a full truck bed of firewood for $100. And we got an order of that. And it was like all of my homestead dreams to see like a triangle tower of firewood sitting in the backyard. It was like, everything is okay now. Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you how excited I was. And the smell and the crackle and the ambiance of a wooden fireplace is just everything my heart desires in life. I also found out I suck at making fires. I have no skills in that area. So that's something I'm actively working on. Like I was telling my husband, like, no, let me do it. And then I struggled horribly for a long time. And then he stepped in and gave me some help and some pointers. So my brain was like, I have a lighter. I have a piece of wood. I start a fire. Cause you think, oh, I have a lighter. That makes it 1,000. That makes it so easy. It doesn't, literally doesn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't help. It's so hard to start a fire with wood and a lighter. For you that are good at this, you're like, duh, but the skill of fire making and those skills that women were used to be in charge of, it stopped being passed down. And if you were a city girl like I was, you've never started a fire in your life. And you have to make a bunch of, you know, little tiny shreds of wood, and you have to make sure that you have the right amount of air circulation coming through and the wood's not too close together. There's a lot of things I just didn't know. I knew I needed oxygen. I thought the teepee was good. I started with pieces of cotton, but it wouldn't catch. It was all these little finicky things. So there's your prepper tip of this episode. If you have never started a fire before and you think, oh, if I have a lighter and a piece of wood, I'm good. You're wrong. You need to go practice your fire making skills. Go buy a metal bin and do it in your backyard if you have to, because when time comes, if crap hits the fan, you're gonna be sitting there wasting all the fuel in this lighter trying to light this fire because you thought I have way more than a caveman has. How come this isn't working? And if you don't have somebody there, like my husband, who has some fire knowledge to teach you, you're not going to have any clue what the problem is. So start, do some practice now, wherever you can, doesn't matter. And we are definitely going to be ordering a lot more wood before winter comes, because if there's a power outage or anything like that, we want to make sure, you know, we are covered for warmth and cooking. And I found out also how incredibly quickly this wood burns. And that freaked me out a little bit, because I felt really good about my wood pile. And then I realized if something does happen, that's not going to last long. And so I think we're going to have to put in several orders and just line the fence. And it's going to be awesome. And another note, we put up a big shed in the backyard. And it's really exciting because it's so large. We don't have it filled. Home Depot accidentally gave us the bigger one for the same price. Hello, God. And we didn't know until we started building it, which is a very intense build. It was one of those metal ones. And my husband let Home Depot know and stuff, and they were like, well, I guess you got lucky. But we can change two of the roof panels to be clear so I can have a built-in greenhouse too. Or, you know, if stuff really does hit the fan, we can change the whole roof into clear, whether we have to find windows or plastic, and turn it into a giant greenhouse. So we then have this additional prep where this shed can become a place to grow food if for reasons of elements or whatever, if we can't grow outside. And it was just, God just keeps doing these awesome things. And I did notice that when we left such a stressful city, my drive for lots of prepping did decrease. And I think that was because I had to kind of refocus a lot of that energy of safety concerns, and I had to find some way to do something active about it. And for me, that was prepping. And, obviously carrying my gun around with me, but in another way, when you're just in your house and you're just feeling the buzz of everybody wants to kill you, you need like something productive to do. So prepping was really helpful for that, but we definitely didn't lose our prepper mindset when we came here. It just calmed down a little bit so that it's not such an urgency, which is good because that's stressful. So we're happy with the food stores we have. We've got firewood, we've got a way to grow food. And the only thing I'm missing now, because we moved, I don't have water collection anymore. So I need to get a water plan in place. And because it's a rental and we already have a bunch of stuff in our backyard, I think I might just go with some large storage containers in a closet inside. So yeah, now I think I've done every part of it. Prepper, mama, Jesus, freak. Literally covered all of them. Started off with how I'm a freak in my mental state, but that's not what the name is. It's a Jesus freak because I'm obsessed with Jesus. Anyway, thanks for joining me. Have a great week, month, 2 weeks. I don't know when I'll be back, but come hang out with me on Instagram in the meantime. And God bless you all. And let's all pray for each other and pray for all the moms in this era right now. Bye.